you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. Can you believe it? It's the 1st of October 2024. We are right into the fourth and final quarter of the year. As I mentioned the other day, that I hope that whatever it is that you have been praying for, God has been gracious enough to make it possible to help you achieve those things. But if you haven't as yet, you still have about 3 months or so, give or take, 3 months or so for you to actually, you know, go after your dreams. But we hope that the Lord has been good to you. It is the Tuesday edition of the show. We're talking about the role of drones in modern agriculture. I think I do love Tuesdays on this show. Well, I do love all the other days, but particularly Tuesdays are becoming quite interesting because I do think that as a show, we are right ahead of the curve in terms of discussing some of these things at a very practical level, you know. And so I'm really excited about the kind out topics we are taking on Tuesdays. Lovely. The only problem is that I'm a novice in this space, and that's why I bring my guests to help me understand these things. And today is no different at all. Drones have become invaluable tools, in fact, in modern agriculture, offering precision, efficiency, and real-time data collection. In today's conversation, we'll be discussing different agricultural operations where drones are making a significant impact, as well as the greater role that drones play in modern agriculture. And environmental engineer Mu Faya joins us this evening to have a conversation about that. Good evening, my elder.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
We're all right. Thank you. Just a bit hot here in Zambia. Very hot.
How is it? What's the temperature now?
We're slightly above 30.
Oh, that's very hot.
Yeah. We are soon to go into the rain season, so temperatures are soaring very high.
Ah, I was about to ask. So, which time does it become hotter, December or what?
October.
October is the hottest.
Yes, as the build up into the rain season starts, the temperatures soar very high. The rains also start. If we are lucky, by mid October, we should be able to have the rains according to predictions by the meteorological department.
Oh, lovely. I suppose those that are farmers are looking forward to the rains and everything.
They are. You know, last year we didn't have good rainfall. We were hit by the droughts.
Yeah.
And so we're now looking forward to having a good rainfall patterns. And the meteorological departments have assured us we're going to have a good rainfall. And our president, President Hakainde Hichilema, has been on record now encouraging people never to despair.
Yeah.
And you try again this year, do the farming. And let's work together. For the food security.
Fantastic. And I know that it's both sides of Zambia and Zimbabwe that have been hit by this drought, eh?
Yeah.
Yo, it's been really bad. And we hope for rain and, you know, blessings and showers of rains. What's the best time now to visit if October is rainy season? How long does it stretch? And can I come and visit in December?
Yeah, when you come to visit in December, but there'll be rains.
There'll be rains. Oh my! Okay.
Lots of rains.
Yeah.
The rain season goes up to March month end. Sometimes early April.
So the best time to visit is around the April. You know, better
April,
parts of May.
May, June. Yeah. That time, as you get to June there, if you want to actually view the Victoria Falls, that's the time, because now the waters have collected.
Yeah.
And the falls is on its peak.
Ah, it's on its peak, right? And I know you do electricity generation from the falls as well.
From the falls and many other, other rivers that we have in the country.
Yeah, yes. Fantastic. I mean, I must visit. The last time I was in Zambia, my elder, was in 2008, and I went to Kitwe. I went to Livingston and I went to Lusaka. I was out on a church mission, something there. That was the last time. And I vowed that I must go back to Zambia. No ways.
You should. Sure. Very lovely country.
It is.
Country, lovely people,
It definitely is.
It's a great country.
No, definitely. I've got your contacts. I'll be hitting you up very soon and saying, hey, I'm coming your way. So, yeah.
You're more than welcome.
But definitely, definitely, I need to come back. Okay, let's start here. Environmental engineer, what do you do? We've spoken to you before, and I know that maybe some of our listeners may have been listening at that time, but there may be some who might not know you. Who are you, and what exactly do you do?
All right. So, as you said, my name is Mubiana Mufaya.
Yeah.
I'm an environmental engineer. Did my environmental engineering from Voronezh State University of Engineering Technology in Russia. Finished in 2014 with a master's degree.
Yeah.
I've done some economics. I've done some business administration, MBA.
Yeah.
I have a passion
for
climate related issues.
Yes.
The environment, being Adventist, the environment, how to take care of it.
Yeah.
And how to maximize our God given resources.
Yeah.
And also now agriculture.
Yes.
Because this gives us the food security for all nations. And I think that's what led me to do this course. And then since then it's been very interesting.
Yeah.
Being called here and there, working with NGOs that share the same common view, of nature conservation, afforestations, mitigating climate change issues.
Yeah.
So we're running from here to there, doing all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Giving out some lessons here and there, having some workshops, getting to engage local people on the issues of climate change and how they can, change and have alternative sources of income, of energy and all those things.
Yeah.
So basically, we run up and down doing those things besides doing personal things. Mostly, I just do personal things, projects to do with the same.
Yeah, fantastic. I just want to pick your brain. This is me off-ramping just a little bit, but I'm going to come back to our conversation. Last week, we spoke to your colleague also in the environmental science space, and we were speaking about climate and weather modification and the use of cloud seeding as a way to circumvent, I suppose, droughts and all that. And I think we saw some attempt at that in Dubai, if I'm not wrong, or some of these UAE where they tried to do it and it didn't really end well. Your thoughts on those type of things? Are we pitting Mother Nature against Mother Nature?
the motive.
Yeah.
The motive is what matters the most for me. There's a lot of technology taking place in the agricultural sector.
Yes.
It ranges from the same cloud seeding.
Yeah.
We're talking of modifying techniques that would improve clouds a bit to produce rain.
Yes.
In places that are desert.
Yeah.
We're also talking of digging great channels into the deserts that can supply water, and then you do irrigation. The idea is that the world population is growing rapidly. And so the demand for food is also rising.
Sure.
And so nations are coming together to make sure that there's sufficient modern agricultural practices that are going to be efficient and precise to produce food and secure the food basket for the whole world. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in a serious food shortage in the whole world. So all these things, they may look as if we are trying to evade Mother Nature, but I think we're just trying to find ways and means that would help us, to secure the food basket for the world with the soaring populations that are growing all over the world.
Yeah. Okay. So the motive is a good one.
Yes. There may be issues with engineering part of it, and maybe as you go, even as we will discuss today's issues, there will be challenges, limitations here and there.
Yeah.
But the motive
is the one. That's what matters.
And what is being done to mitigate, if at all, there are any adverse effects surrounding the same project.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, makes sense, and I really love that. And she also was saying, look, let's look at the objective. Let's look at what we're trying to achieve, and maybe here and there where we need to be a little bit circumspect, let's do that. But like you're saying, quite right. The population of the world is increased. I think 8 billion or so, and we are projected to be around the 50s in a very short space of time. 50 billion people, and I was like, whoa. And in this world, 50 billion of us. But I suppose God created this world enough for us. It's just about how do we share responsibly the resources, including land and natural resources, and the environment, I suppose.
It's all about rational utilization of natural resources.
Oh,
there's abundant land, there's abundant natural resources, abundant water resources, but how we manage them is what actually matters. And that's why environmental specialists are coming in, working with governments to see how these things can be, our natural resources can be used rationally. Otherwise, God had a plan. There's space for everyone.
There's space for
a long
time.
Definitely.
I agree. I think we haven't even started inhibiting much of Africa. We've got so much land in Africa that we are
Africa,
very, very far.
South America.
Sure.
A lot of it is young.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Drones now in modern agriculture. What are we talking about, and why are these important?
So very important. Like I said, a lot. If there's one thing that brings that brings the world together, maybe it's all the differences we have, the wars and everything else, is the fact that everybody needs to eat.
We all need to eat. Yeah.
Even soldiers at war, we need to eat.
They need to eat.
I think there is support coming in, and there's significant, you know, modern type of technology that is being peddled in the agriculture sector to be able, like I said, mentioned earlier on, to meet the growing demand of food that is required in the whole world. And then, like you opened up saying, there's so many technologies that are being done in the agriculture sector to try and be able to improve agricultural practices and make them more efficient. And one such technology that stands out is the use of drones in modern agriculture. Drones haven't been here for far too long. And actually, before 2011, drones were mostly used in combat operations, in wars and all that. It was actually after 2011 that we saw the increased affordability and technology advancements, such as lightweight cameras and sensors, to drones. That these conditions have led to a rise in the use of drones for a variety of agricultural applications. And so I think we're going to discuss the roles and importance of drones in modern agriculture. I may maybe just want to mention, for those that may not know, drones, also known as small unmanned aerial systems or unmanned aerial vehicles, are defined as aircrafts without any human pilot, crew, or passenger on board. I'm sure many people have seen drones, and they've got a few parts here and there. You know, they have the propeller, they have the battery, they have what we call they have the cameras, and then we also have the payload, a structure of the drone, and these ones are the ones that now you use according to what you want to achieve. So this is the equipment you put on the drone together with the cameras, depending on what you want to achieve. And we'll discuss what variety of things that drones have brought into the modern agriculture sector as we delve deeper into the discussion. But I must make mention that the drone technology allows operators to direct drones to perform complex tasks in agriculture.
Sure.
That are ranging from precise crop monitoring to efficient resource management, like we were talking. This has paved the way for a new era of precision agriculture. Very important. Precision agriculture. You just don't do things anyhow, because you have got 8 billion people to feed, and you can't just be guessing.
So
precision becomes very important. And so according to during 2015 publication, the use of drones to increase crop yield and reduce input cost by corn, soybean, and wheat farmers could save an estimated $1.3 billion annually. Now, this significant budgetary impact, it has stressed the potential of drone use not only in enhancing agricultural efficiency, but also in contributing to the economic viability of farming in the modern agriculture. So this is helping to take farming as a business. You know, as Africa, we have been doing, especially before whites came down here, we've been doing agriculture just as a way of having food, you know, just growing a small portion behind your house, make sure you have food for the family. But we're talking about taking things a step further by making agriculture an economically viable industry. So that people can go there with a motive, not only of having something to eat for the family, but as a business.
You can
have money for other things and do other things and create employment, you know, several other ripple effects that could come in.
Okay. I want us to get into then some of the examples, right? I know crop scouting, stand count, spraying and all those sort of stuff, which are some of the examples of how drones are used in the agricultural sector. And that's a really, really key conversation that I want us to have. But you said that it's a new phenomenon, and I understand that it came around 2011, right? And these things started being used in the agricultural space, particularly, like you said, to make precision agriculture a whole lot more easier. The use of then these drones, I suppose machine learning and artificial intelligence is then embedded into these drones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello?
No, yes, I can hear you. I wanted to take that conversation a little bit more to say, what is the importance of artificial intelligence in these things?
So the integration of artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms enables drones to collect crop health data and help farmers to provide actionable insights, ultimately leading to more informed decision-making and improved crop yields. Furthermore, the use of drones for precision spraying has the potential also to minimize both chemical usage and the risk of overspraying, thereby providing technology-driven smart agriculture practices and economic benefits to farmers. You have farmers that have vast lands. You know, you have hundreds of hectares that they are growing crops. And you need precision for you to be able to get a good yield.
Yeah, definitely.
That can help you actually to determine what your output is going to be for market purposes, financially speaking. So the integration of this artificial intelligence, you know, manning, they're putting them up now on an unmanned aeroplane, which we now call drone, actually has proven to be very beneficial, because then if you have 200 hectares of land, how do you monitor?
It's a lot of land.
It takes days. Sometimes you can't depend on human beings. So you send the workers on your 100 hectares. They walk the whole day. They will give you fake reports. You know, they will not even traverse the entire field.
Indeed.
But you can't manipulate a drone. The drone will do it quicker. And I think I'm actually delving into some of the examples of the roles that drones are playing in modern agriculture. But that's part of it.
I'll
allow you to lead into that.
Definitely. I love that, because I happen to be exposed to these type of things, particularly from an agricultural point of view. And I can tell you that 10 hectares takes a few people the entire day, in fact, to walk 10 hectares.
Yes.
So imagine 200 hectares. That's like 30 to 60 days of work. And you don't want to have people in the field for that long, because it's very important that you do precision. Data is important. Insights are important. Yeah. Analytics are very important, because then you might get this thing wrong if you don't have those in time at the exact point in time.
Very much.
Yeah, love it. Okay, let's not waste much time then. Let's get into these examples of the use of these unmanned helicopters, as I call them, in operations, I suppose, particularly for agriculture as well.
There's a lot in that area, but I think I picked about 12 to 13 very important examples that would show us the role of drones in modern agriculture. And I think, like you indicated earlier on, drones have become invaluable tools in modern agriculture, offering precision, efficiency, and real-time data collection. And so here are some of the key agricultural operations where drones are making a very significant impact in the area of agriculture.
Yeah.
The first one that I have is what we call crop scouting.
Okay.
So you can do crop scouting using the drones, where operators of the drone can use the drone to quickly survey and report on crop health across vast areas, like you are talking about, 200 hectares, identifying issues like pest infestations or nutrient deficiencies earlier than traditional methods, like you were talking about. You don't have, there are times where just a portion of the field in the middle of it has been infected. How do you know? You know, so by use of drones, it flies there quickly. It captures real-time data.
Yeah.
You'll be able to, I mean, you scout the field and be able to make real-time
decisions
on how to correct the situation. The second one is stand count. Very important for farmers. Stand counts are also known as plant counts.
Okay.
Operators of drones can use drones to quickly survey and report the number of plants across vast area, doing this more efficiently compared to counting plants one by one with traditional methods. So you'll be able to tell how much plants you have planted over your 100 hectares or 200 hectares. And it helps you to plan as you expect yield and also what in terms of inputs, fertilizer and everything else, how much do you use them to fertilize, to spray and all that. So that's the second one. The third one is spraying. Drones have become very important. In the past, you'd use human beings to spray vast you know, areas of land. And if you are spraying, for example, if you are spraying pesticides, your field is infested and you are using human beings and you're talking of 100 hectares, you know, pests that are crop related, they can finish... They can finish a field in a small period of time.
Locus.
And you're using human beings to spray a field for two weeks, 3 weeks, when there's an infestation. I mean, there's a lot. So the drones have come in where operators can use drones to spray pesticides, even fertilizers, for more precisely and quickly than ground-based methods, reducing runoff and increasing the effectiveness of these inputs. So that's very important. The fourth one is cover crop seeding. Operators can use drones to plant seeds at a faster rate and with less labor than traditional methods, which is especially useful in difficult to assess areas. But drones can be used to seed cover crops in any field with standing conditions. That's one of them. The fifth one is crop yield estimation. So by analyzing drone captured data, farmers can predict yield with greater accuracy, which aids in making in market planning and resource allocation. So you will be able to know, okay, I have now X number of plants. And that means I need X number of fertilizer, like you mentioned, X number of this pesticides. And it helps you to plan for the market. If I have so much that I'm going to produce, then how... I should be thinking of exporting. South Africa will produce more, you know. So you have all those dynamics well figured out because you know what you should expect. The other one is irrigation management. Operators of drones can use these drones to help design more efficient irrigation systems and ensure that water distribution is even across all crops. Data collection using drones can provide information to generate irrigation management zones. You have, you've seen in the past where you have fields where the left side of the field plants seem not to be growing as well as the right side of the field. We've had these things. At the, in the middle of the field, plants are not receiving enough water, either through rainfall or manual watering systems. But when you're using irrigation systems that are drone propelled, you man it, you program it, you are assured that it's going to give every square inch of the field
the same,
amount of water that it needs to be given. So very important. It's also plant disease assessment. Very important as well, like I said. So operators can use drones to monitor plants for signs of disease, allowing for targeted treatment that minimizes chemical use and maximizes crop yield. So quickly, you go to the field, you notice that there's this disease coming up. Quickly, you make actionable decisions on time. It is water stress assessment. Operators can use drones equipped with multi-spectral sensors to identify areas of water stress in crops by analyzing how plants absorb and reflect different wavelengths of light, aiding in more precision irrigating management systems. So you see, again, depending on the area where your field is, there's definitely maybe some portions, there could be a mountain near the field, some portions of the field that are that may be receiving more sunlight than others. So there could be some portions of the field due to the topography of the field that could be receiving more water or water could be running off. So you get all this information, then you'll be able to know how you are going now to distribute your water, for example, your irrigation systems, which part will need more water, for example, which one will need less, and all that. So that's very important. The other one is actually nutrient stress assessment. So besides water stress assessment, there's also nutrient stress assessment. By capturing spectral data, drones assist operators in identifying areas with potential nutrient deficiencies, guiding precision fertilization. Again, here in Africa, like I mentioned, when you have 200 hectares of land, be rest assured some portions of that land will be less fertile. The topography in some of those areas will be sliding. You know, there'll be shed here and there. And so now you need equipment that can traverse the entire 200 hectares of land quickly and give you information on where plants are lacking nutrients, where you need more fertilizer, for example, compared to the other. And this will help you to do it on real time. So the next one is weed stress assessment. Again, this is another one. Due to different areas, topographies of the field, some areas which are more fertile, they also result in more weed growing in those areas. And so you know where to start from in terms of weeding and where to put more resource allocation in terms of weeding. You can only get this if you have vast lands by using drones. So the drone operators can use drones to stop weed outbreaks, allowing for precise herbicide applications, reducing costs and also environmental impact. In this regard, you don't just spray.
You don't.
Any weed, you will see, for example, you'll find there are some portions of the field where the weeds are just grass. There are some portions of the field where the weeds are actually leafy plants. So where do you use which kind of pesticide? And that helps you with reducing the cost and also environmental impact, where you don't just spray things in proportions that are not even well balanced. So that's very important. And also the next one is field topography. I talked about this. Operators can use high resolution drone images to assist in planning field operations and optimizing best management strategies based on changes in topography. So knowing that your field is more fertile here, it's hilly here, it's got a slope here and there, it helps you to now sit down and know what resources in terms of fertilizer, in terms of pesticide, in terms of irrigation that you are going to put in what part of the field. And that helps you also make some good financial plannings for the for the for the field or for the for the harvest in the sector. Then we have what we call soil mapping. Again, operators of drones can use drones equipped with specialized sensors to create detailed maps of soil characteristics, helping to optimize inputs like seed and fertilizers. Again, these are just like in a chronological order. So they just, so when you have all this information, then you can know how to use how much seed, you know, how much fertilizer. You have the field mapped. You don't just start from anywhere. So you know, my field is like this. So I need to plant more here where it's more fertile. I need to plant this here. I need more spacing here because this area gets crowded. And all those things for economical purposes, they're very important. And in it, we are to run farming as a business. That's the way to go. The last one that I picked in this series of these roles that drones play in modern agriculture was the thing we started with, you know, artificial intelligence algorithm, which is basically actually what the drone carries. You know, I said the drone has a component that we call the payload, besides the propellers and the batteries and everything else. So depending on what you want to capture, you put these artificial intelligence systems. So these artificial intelligence algorithms can provide farmers with more accurate predictions about when to plant and harvest crops, how much water and fertilizer to apply, and other key, you know, decision making. So you'll be able to predict and know, okay, when can I plant and how much should I expect and all that.
Yeah.
And so this is where artificial intelligence comes in.
Yeah.
Very, very important. I mean, you see people fighting artificial intelligence in other sectors of the world, but when it comes to agriculture, it's a plus.
It's a plus, right? And there seems to be a very good business case. And thank you so much for outlining those 13 points there. And I'm sitting here thinking, like I said, I have a bit of exposure to this agriculture, particularly looking at cotton. And here in South Africa, I'm not sure about Zambia and other parts of Africa, but I know in South Africa, you know, cotton is a high-yield crop. And I'm thinking to myself, with all this data that drones can give you, this becomes like a no-brainer for anyone to actually start implementing, you know, the use of drones in their operations. Is it me being biased when I think about high-yield crops versus perhaps what is classified as low-yield crops? And I'm asking this question in the context of, you know, as a farmer, you need to rationalize your spending. And so if maybe these drones come at X and you realize that it's going to bankrupt you and you are farming a low-yield crop, maybe just, you know, postpone it a little bit, or how would you approach that?
Yeah, that's very important as well, yes, because you need to count the costs. You need to count the costs. And I think I'll delve into it a little bit when you go into some of the challenges, I think, come with drones. But you need to count the costs. Like you mentioned, things like cotton. Cotton is not only a high yielding, but it's also a high yielding in terms of production.
Yes.
But it's also a high yielding crop in terms of profitability.
Yes, definitely.
Demand with the cotton industry worldwide is
massive.
It's massive, yes.
Yeah.
And so you need to know which crops are high yielding, as well as in terms of production, as well as in terms of profitability. And then you dwell on that. Once you know that, then you know, because as you will discover soon as we go into our discussion, there is a cost attached to drones. This is easy to talk about. You feel excited as we are talking about. But I could feel that you're getting excited about all these different points that drones can do. But what does it cost?
Yes.
So when you do the counting of the cost, then a farmer will be able to know, okay, I'll venture into cotton as opposed to maybe a sorghum or something else. And then you go like that. But again, as leaders of nations, again, you need to be able to strike a balance to make sure that those that are growing crops that may be low in terms of value, but are somewhat staple food. They are also supported in their own ways to make sure that the food security.
Definitely. I love that. I'm thinking now about sunflower, you know, and maybe maize here and there, depending where you are. It is a staple, but some people would characterize it as a low yield crop, and all the sort of stuff, as opposed to, like you say, your cotton and some of these other big ones. Okay, we're running out of time, but let's get into now the challenges of drones. There's always a left and a right to these things.
Yes, and it's important to always look at things like that.
Yeah.
We don't speak like motivational speakers. We just speak on the positive side of things, and people will be running up and down thinking they can easily get this. So you put things
balance
square
things out.
People pick it up. So drones still have some limitations that can affect their performances in agricultural settings. For example, drones may not be able to fly in adverse weather conditions such as high winds or heavy rains. They may also have limited battery life because you know they depend on battery, which can restrict their flight time and range. But this is a problem that should falter over time, as battery technology is improving pretty fast, and so we have these long range batteries that can stay in for a long time. Another challenge that that is associated with the use of drones in agriculture is regulatory issues.
Okay.
Depending on the country and region, there may be restrictions on the use of drones in agriculture, such as requirements for licensing, yeah, training, or certification.
Yeah.
Additionally, there may be limitations on the types of operations that can be performed with drones, such as restrictions on flying over certain areas or using drones for crop spraying. Compliance with these regulations can be a significant challenge for farmers, especially in areas where regulations are complex or unclear. You know, and furthermore, as the use of drones becomes more widespread, there may be potential privacy concerns related to the collection and use of data, the intrusion, hacking, and cyber threats. So these things come in. You know, if one genetic farmer here could hack into your drones and, you know, just make it give you fake data or, you know, altered information. There's, you know, these cyber issues that we have around.
Yeah.
These issues of intrusion and then issues of privacy. So all these things create a threat. These concerns must be addressed through clear guidelines and regulations to ensure that drones are used ethically and responsibly in agriculture setting. And in addition to these, the technical and regulatory challenges, the cost of implementing this drone technology in agriculture can also be a significant hurdle for farmers. Is what we're talking about. While drones have become more affordable in recent years, there are still considerable expenses associated with these purchasing, maintaining, and of course, operating this technology. You need to train your people, and you know, drones range. If you want a drone to be spraying, it's different from using a drone like the ones you use, you media people, for capturing events. Compared to a drone that you want to use for spraying and everything else, you're talking about big drones.
Look at that.
With a number of propellers and so on. Yeah. So the cost is quite high. Additionally to that, specialized training is needed.
It's necessary
for farmers to effectively use drones, which can further add to the cost.
Yes.
So this expense may be a major barrier for small scale to medium farmers who may struggle to compete with larger operations.
Yeah.
So, however, as technology continues to advance and become more commonplace in agriculture, the cost of these implementations will decrease, making it more accessible for farms of all sizes. I mean, we've seen this. When something just comes, like we said, these things are just, they just came into the space 2011, and they're still almost new on the market. But as time moves on, just like phones and everything else, when phones just started, these mobile phones, when they just started, only a few could manage them.
Yeah.
Now everybody has them. So we are very positive that soon these things are going to become actually more affordable for all kinds of farmers. So, and despite all these challenges, the potential benefits of using drones in agriculture are significant. And the ongoing research and development is focused on maximizing the advantages while addressing the associated limitations.
Yeah.
So that's what I can say about some of the hurdles that are there. Benefits outweigh
the cost.
The challenge.
Yeah. Okay. So with the trends that you are seeing, as someone who's obviously in this space, with the trends that you are seeing, despite those costs, those challenges, those limitations and all that, do you see that more and more farmers are going to be forced into adopting drones? Or is it a case of, you know, it's still going to take some time before people actually, you know, get used to them and use them, but versus, you know, being pushed into it? Because I do think that there's certain type of technology in some industries where it's either you take it or you die, or if you don't, then your business will die.
Yes. it's two ways. I think it's incumbent right now upon drone producers to begin to market their drones, you know, in a more significant way. Like I said earlier on, they're just being used for military purposes. Then we've seen them being used. I personally see them mostly being used on by media people. And so, for as long as farmers are going to only see drones being manned by media people, they will not know that actually they can use these drones for beneficial purposes at their farms.
Yeah.
So it's incumbent upon us who have this knowledge to be able to not have meetings.
Yeah.
The community engagement with people on the importance of these things, as well as people that are selling drones need to up their games.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of marketing their drones and showing the limitless variety of things that drones can do. Because what we are only seeing now is drones flying over meetings. And people will not know that.
So
I think that's what I would say. Yes. Once people know, anybody who's in business, once you bring to me a product and explain to me, like we have outlined these 18 points.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants to make profit. People
Everyone
just rush into it.
Definitely. And if it can reduce costs and make it easier, I mean, it just is a no-brainer, and we have to use them. How do we conclude this one?
I wish we could go on and on and just talk about it, because there are very, very interesting things coming
up.
And we want to make sure that people get to know all these things and get to look at the cost and do everything possible they can to make farming a profitable adventure. But in conclusion, I think the use of drones has made a significant impact on the agricultural industry in the last decade. And we continue to do so in the coming years. As you can see, the use of drones in agriculture comes with both challenges and benefits, like we've talked, especially as drones usage in more research to explore new applications of the technology while also aiming to reduce their current limitations. That's what's very important. So as drone technology continues to advance, drones will continue to play an increasing significant role in the agriculture industry. Important to note that creating a new agricultural revolution and contributing to the optimization of resources, resource utilization, and the reduction of environmental impact. So the key word here is a revolution. Like I mentioned earlier on, if the people that are producing drones could make farmers understand that there is a revolution and everybody get on board, things will change. Drones can provide a bird's eye view of crops, capturing data on plant health, livestock monitoring, crop patterns, and potential issues such as disease or pest infestations. Multi-spectral images help identifying problems invisible to naked eyes, enabling timely intervention when it comes to the issues that you have with your crop, with your land, with your farm. And it's not only crops. Your animals as well, livestock as well. There are people that have, here in Zambia, we have a place called Namwala. It's a town where there's more animals, cattle, than people. You have one person having 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 cattle. How do you manage it? How do you? They've been doing this traditionally. For a very long time. These are the Tonga people where our president comes. Actually, our president has massive farms and then huge numbers of animals. We need drones to be able to detect which animals are sick, which animals are where, and everything else. So it's very important for them. I think that's what I would conclude with. Thank you so much.
My elder, thank you so much. Beautiful insights there. And look, like I said, and I believe this is not the end of this conversation. It's just time that's always against us. But thank you so much for your insights. Really, really learned a lot and love that conversation.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you too. That is our elder there, Mubiana Mufaya, joining us all the way from Zambia, helping us understand a little bit about drones and why these drones are important in the agricultural sector. Elder Mufaya, thank you so much. Angege ngimoshe.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.